Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday's program, we aired audio from a dispute between two theologians. The program is titled, and we'll continue this today, BEL airs Ken Wilson's reply to James White's reply to Wilson's reply, So these two theologians are in a disagreement, and the church historians on both sides overwhelmingly agree with the anti-Calvinist in this dispute. James White wants to claim, as Calvinists have claimed for centuries, Calvinists believe in predestination and also, most of them, a doctrine called irresistible grace, that a human being cannot accept God's offer of salvation. He's unable to, unless God predestines and irresistibly causes him to believe. The question in dispute is whether or not the church taught anything remotely like that in its first 300 years. At kgov.com/300, we did a program years ago showing that the early church leaders completely, if ever the topic came up, would reject the idea that goes back to pagans like Plato and Aristotle, that human beings and their decisions cannot actually respond to circumstances such as whether to trust in Jesus Christ or not for salvation. So Ken Wilson is a well-known anti-Calvinist. James White, I've debated on whether or not God could think new thoughts, whether the future is settled or open. That debate is on YouTube right now. It's got 43,000 views. It's doing well, rather popular. So we're going to continue about 7 minutes into this video, and we're starting at a bit of a technical point. So if you missed yesterday's program, you'll want to go back. Just kgov.com for the April 21st, 2020 program and catch up with us. Now let's continue.
So Dr. White, please tell us about what Augustine believed for a decade as a Manichaean prior to his conversion.
Grace in Manichaeism is pooping out light.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. We're going to back up and play that again. I mentioned yesterday that you're going to think you couldn't possibly have heard James White correctly. You're going to think that your ears deceived you. On this program for 29 years, we do not use bathroom humor. It's juvenile, childish, like 13-year-old boys joking, bathroom humor. Well, James White, our longtime opponent, who with R.C. Sproul Jr. also denied to us that God the Son took on a human nature, that God the Son has both a divine and a human nature. It's a shocking heresy that they've both committed, and they both are somewhat high profile in the Reformed movement. R.C. Sproul Jr. because of his father, James White because of his own Alpha and Omega ministry. Hopefully they will both repent and apologize for claiming publicly in the immediate aftermath of our debate downtown Denver, they both said that God the Son does not have a human nature. That's a shocking rejection of the incarnation itself. So now we come to something like this, and this pales in comparison to how serious that heresy is that they commit simply in order to win a theological argument, because we show that God is alive, and of course he changes. He doesn't change in some ways, but he changes in dramatic ways, including by God the Son becoming a man. So when James White loses it and uses, what, bathroom humor to mock his opponent, who's an Oxford graduate, It's bizarre. It's almost like listening to Joe Biden try to answer a question.
Grace in Manichaeism is pooping out light. You just don't like me pointing that out. But that's what it is. It's pooping out light. So that the little sparks from the veggies you eat can go up and become part of the Milky Way and go to the moon and to the sun and then into the realm of light.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. If you were to see this, and we'll embed this video on kgov.com. If you were to see this, it's worse than what it sounds like. Sometimes you hear it. Who is the former head of the DNC? I asked my producer to pull up the Howard Dean infamous yell. Remember this? Years ago, he's running for the Democratic nomination. He became the chairman of the DNC. And his yell was so bizarre, but it was worse on radio for people who heard it than for people who saw it. You got that, right? Let's hear that.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Yeah! Okay, sorry for that. And so after that, what else? They make him the chairman of the DNC, of course. But when you saw that, it wasn't nearly as bad as when Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and others, we probably aired it here. We've been on the air for 29 years. When you hear it on radio, it's really crazy. When you see it, it's just crazy, but not really crazy. If you go to our website today, kgov.com, or in the future, look for our archives, April 22nd, 2020, you'll see embedded this response to James White from Ken Wilson's group, Soteriology 101, and you will see James White and what he said about the Milky Way and vegetables and all. And it is way worse seeing it than what it sounds like on the radio. Let's continue.
Go up and become part of the Milky Way and go to the moon and to the sun and then into the realm of light. That's grace. If you think that's what we're talking about, that explains why you've been missing stuff so long.
Shouldn't we be a little skeptical of someone who held to this extraordinary belief for a decade of his life?
Stop the tape. Yet, stop the tape. The narrator is not talking about James White and his belief about the vegetables in the Milky Way. He's talking about Augustine. And Augustine had a strong commitment to non-Christian philosophies. He was a Manichaean and he was a Neoplatonist. He had a deep commitment to the pagan philosophy of Plato. Now, if a Christian leader draws an analogy from a Hollywood film, that's fine. But if the Christian leader has a commitment to Hollywood films, so that he says, as Augustine wrote, that he interprets the Bible in light of Hollywood, then that's a serious problem. And Augustine has been the most influential theologian for the church, well, if you don't count Plato, the most influential theologian, and he had a deep commitment to pagan, humanist Greek philosophy.
His life? Yet consider the influence of Augustine on Western Christianity, as in accordance with Dr. R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries, who wrote, quote, "It has been said that all of Western theology is a footnote to the work of Augustine. This is because no other writer, with the exception of the biblical authors, has had more influence on Christendom. When Martin Luther and John Calvin were accused of teaching new doctrine, they pointed to Augustine as the example of one who had taught the things they were teaching."
So,
stop the tape, stop the tape. So that quote came from R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries, one of the most famous Calvinists in the world. And indeed, these were new doctrines when Augustine introduced them. And so Martin Luther and John Calvin were guilty of teaching new doctrines, in fact, not new at their time, but introduced into the church from the non-Christian traditions of the Manichaeans and the Neoplatonists.
So, first of all, anyone who knows anything about Stoics, Gnostics, and Manichaeanism knows that there are differences between each one of these. Manichaeism is a form of Gnosticism, but with an incredibly wide variety of influences that Manny brought into his self-made religion in the middle of the 3rd century. So in other words, around 250-ish. The point is this. None of them are based upon a monotheistic worldview. None of them are based upon the prophets and apostles. None of them are based upon grammatical historical interpretation of New Testament texts. None of that matters to Ken Wilson. As long as you can draw a parallel.
Dr. Wilson and the rest of us here at Soteriology 101 are well aware of the differences between Gnosticism and modern-day Calvinism. But the point of contention is regarding its similarities with the unique views Augustine first introduced into the church. James
White.
Stop the tape.
It's more than similarities. It's one thing to have an accidental similarity with the teaching of another religion. They have compared Roman Catholicism's teaching of the triune God to Protestant Christianity's teaching of the triune God. That doesn't mean that a fundamentalist Bible pastor who teaches the Trinity has a commitment to Rome. So it's not only that Augustine has similarities to these pagan views, it's that he had a commitment, and I keep pointing out, to Plato, because he admits that in his book, The Confessions of Augustine, that, and he doesn't admit it as a confession, he's bragging about it, that when the Bible seems difficult to understand, especially, he says, Paul's epistles, then he remembers Plato, and he interprets everything in light of Plato, and everything in light of immutability and utter immutability. Nothing can ever change within God, nor anything that ever happens. It is all immutable. So that's the bigger problem that Augustine had.
James White has yet to address this actual point of contention, and he has avoided the conclusion of even other well-respected Reformed historians. For instance, a well-respected Reformed historian, Lorraine Bettner, wrote, quote, "It may occasion some surprise to discover that the doctrine of predestination was not made a matter of special study until near the end of the 4th century.
Stop the tape. Okay, this is a Calvinist historian, church historian, highly respected, Lorraine Bettner. They quote her a couple times in the audio coming up, and they'll quote another respected Reformed Calvinist church historian. And what they're saying is indisputable, that this doctrine of predestination that you can't believe unless God somehow has compelled you to believe by irresistible grace, or that he has predestined you in a way that he has not predestined those who eventually go to hell, that doctrine was not studied, that's Lorraine Bettner's words, until near the end of the 4th century. So this is even another 100 years after we took it in our program, kgov.com/300.
They, of course, taught that salvation was through Christ, yet they assumed that man had full power to accept or reject the gospel, despite the conclusion of many Reformed historians. Listen to what Dr. White says when I accused him of reading his Calvinistic theology into Clement and the other early church writings.
Stop the tape. Now, this is going to be a bit technical, so let's hang in there together and we'll figure it out. But like I mentioned yesterday, the argument here is not which doctrine is true. For that, you go to the Bible. The argument here is, did the church for 2,000 years teach Calvinism? Did it or did it not? And Calvinists for centuries have claimed that it did, but the information age has not been easy on Reformed theologians, because now, thanks to the internet, when they make claims that are false, they're easily challenged, as is happening right here and right now, because Calvinism on this issue of irresistible grace teaches the opposite of what the early church taught for 400 years.
Church writings.
One, he interprets, of course, Clement much like he interprets Paul and the other New Testament authors, by assuming, in my estimation, he's assuming that if somebody uses the word elect or the number of the elect or something of that nature, that they must be talking Calvinistically.
Now, did I ever say that Clement was a Calvinist? I've never said it. I've never suggested it. Anyone who listened to what I said, whether I'm talking about Clement, whether I'm talking about the Epistle of Diognetus, what have I always said? What do I say about all church writing?
Yet, the day before, James White said this.
This guy's a monergist.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. So, a monergist, a synergist, synergy, there's more than one thing going on. So, by God's will, he offers salvation, and man can either, through pride, reject God's salvation, or through humility, humble himself and accept God's salvation. That's synergy, God's will and man's will. Monergism is the view that there is only one will going on, that regardless of the individual, God irresistibly saves them. And so what James White is doing, it's this bait and switch. He says, I've never said that the church fathers are Calvinist. They were monergists. It's the same thing.
Yet, the day before, James White said this.
This guy's a monergist in the second century. He's a monergist. And Wilson's dissertation requires them all to be what? Synergists.
Once again, James White's not merely contending with Ken Wilson. He's contending with his own Reformed scholars. Again, Lorraine Bettner said, they, the early church fathers, would have denied the doctrine of predestination. They taught a kind of synergism in which there was a cooperation between grace and free will. Bettner went on to say, quote, this cardinal truth of Christianity, referring to Calvinism, was first clearly seen by Augustine, end quote. Herman Bavinck, another well-respected Calvinistic historian, spoke of the earliest church writings and explained that they believed, quote, though humans had been more or less corrupted by sin, they remained free and were able to accept the proffered grace of God. The church's teaching did not include a doctrine of absolute predestination and irresistible grace, end quote. As you can see, Dr. White's contention is with his own scholars.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. So those are two good examples of Calvinist theologians admitting that the first centuries of Christian leaders, that they did not teach Calvinist doctrine. They did not teach irresistible grace. So again, this entire disagreement is not to say which one is true. It's to correct the Calvinist misrepresentation of the history of the church as though they have reclaimed it, when the truth is they have reemphasized Augustine's new teaching, contrary to the teaching of the first four centuries of the church, which was heavily dependent on non-Christian theologies, which he even wrote that he continued to have a commitment to.
John Calvin himself, in regard to the early church writings, said, further, even though the Greeks above the rest, and Christendom especially among them, extol the ability of the human will, yet all the ancients, save Augustine, so differ, waver, or speak confusedly on this subject that almost nothing certain can be derived from their writings.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. That is John Calvin admitting that he cannot find a defense for his theology from the entire early history of the church for 400 years until Augustine. And even in that quote where he's admitting that they didn't teach his doctrine, he's prevaricating a bit there. He's being subtly deceptive because he says that they speak confusedly on this, as though they take both sides of the issue. No, they only spoke, if ever the topic comes up in their writings, against anything that would remotely resemble the false doctrine of irresistible grace, the eye in the Calvinist tulip.
We have presented numerous unbiased scholars from the Reformed tradition to support our findings, but Dr. White has not presented any who support his.
That provisionists are not only anti-Reformed theology, they're anti-Reformation. They are on Rome's side. In the nature of the will, they are not just in the Tiber River, they have put their rope around the dock over on the other side of the Tiber River.
This is a guilt by association argument. So a Unitarian in a debate with James White could say James White is a Trinitarian, and Catholics from Rome, they're Trinitarians. Therefore, James White sides with Rome. He has crossed the Tiber River and docked.
That is so radical that it's astonishing. And it's so full of holes that I'll tell you right now, once we get done with all this, and once these other folks put out their stuff, we're going to be the ones going, so what happened to that debate challenge? Because it ain't going to happen.
Stop the tape. So that's a prediction, right? Obviously, that's a prediction that's false. When we put out all our stuff, what stuff, James? What stuff? Your vegetables and Milky Way stuff? I mean, what stuff? You can't even quote your own Reformed theologians to back up your misrepresentation of church history. Again, the information age has not been easy on Calvinists. That's one reason we see the enormous growth in the teaching of open theism, that God is able to think new thoughts, because all other Christian theological positions deny that God could think a new thought. He can't design a new butterfly, according to Calvinism and other Christian schools of thought. He can't write a new song. He cannot think a new thought. And all that is extremely anti-biblical, although it's perfectly consistent with the pagan philosophy of the Greeks, namely Plato. So about the debate challenge, of course, Ken Wilson is not going to back out of his debate offer from anything that James White could say. Before he debated me, in the couple days leading up to it, he put videos online about me, and Cheryl would ask me, Bob, aren't you going to watch James White's videos about you and about the debate? And I said, no, why should I? I know me. I know everything I am and everything I believe. So, no, I don't have to watch his videos. But we had offered James White a debate for, I don't know, a year, 6 months, and he never accepted it. And then all of a sudden, in a great rush, he gave us, I think, 4 days or something. Okay, I'm going to be in Denver. We got to do it on Friday, whatever it was. And so, but we put it together, a very successful debate event downtown at the Brown Palace. It was really great, and it's awesome on YouTube. Just go to kgov.com, click on our YouTube channel, and there it is in our theology playlist.
That debate challenge? Because it ain't going to happen. I already have hours worth of errors in the dissertation. Okay, so something tells me once we put that all out there and you can go check these sources and you can look these things up and go, huh, yeah, that is what that says. Huh, wonder why it says differently in there. Then all of a sudden there's going to be a reason why, you know, we don't want to. Yeah, look at the time. I got to go. Got to floss my cat. That's just not going to happen. But it would be interesting. Do you have any idea, once we lay all this out, how bad y'all are going to look? This is going to be coronavirus, COVID-19, and the collapse of Soteriology 1-1, the big issues in 2020.
Stop the tape. I don't know how cats always get into people bowing out of debates. When James White said, I guess he's pretending that Ken Wilson will say, oh, I can't be there, I got to floss my cat, right? I recall back in the 1990s when I had on the show for 1 hour one of the world's leading evolutionary scientists, Dr. Eugenie Scott, PhD, physical anthropologist. And I asked her for about an hour, Eugenie, could you give me two or three pieces of evidence, your best evidence, that evolution is true? Just, you know, lay it on me. Let's evaluate it. And, you know, for a long time in the show, she resisted giving any evidence. Finally, she said junk DNA. And that was so funny because she is the PhD scientist, should be an expert on that argument, and I am the Bible-thumping talk show host. So I said, Eugenie, and this, you can hear the audio, just go to rsr.org/junk. Our show on Junk DNA, Fred Williams and I play the audio. I said, Eugenie, don't you think we're only beginning to understand genetics and we have so much yet to come that we can find out that there is function for everything that you guys are saying 90% of our DNA is junk? Isn't that hubris? It's too egotistical. And she's, no, we understand everything we need to know to affirmatively declare that it's all junk, except for 2%. So fast forward 20 years, and the journal Nature publishes a paper, the ENCODE Project. 440 genetic researchers from around the world all co-authored one paper. And they said, well, we thought 98% of DNA was junk. So far, we have found function in 80% of the DNA, 80%. And the lead author said he believes it's going up to near 100%. I only bring that up because at the end of that 1 hour, Eugenie said, well, I don't debate. I'm sitting here with my cat, and I don't debate. And that was funny because the previous month, she was on a nationwide televised debate on PBS. And so here she is on Bob Inert Live saying, I don't debate. I'm sitting here with my cat.
And the collapse of Soteriology 1-1. The big issues in 2020. Because if you're going to, are you going to go down swinging?
So why do gorillas pound their chests? Well, male gorillas often behave this way when they want to show their strength. While this may look like a vicious yell, this action actually helps gorillas end or even avoid confrontation.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. So listening on the radio, it's like, what did a different video start playing? The point they're making is James White, in his bravado, he's trying to intimidate instead of seeking to drive at the truth. And of course, that's what he's been doing.
Or even avoid confrontation with another gorilla, because the gorilla that looks the strongest often scares the other one away without a fight.
Keep in mind, Dr. White is not just contending with Ken Wilson or Leighton Flowers. He is contending with a general consensus among most scholars.
What are you talking about, man?
So the video ends there with James White making a funny noise with his finger and his lips. Theologian Leighton Flowers was mentioned in that video, seminary professor, former Calvinist. And I had the honor of interviewing Leighton a year and a half ago. You could find that kgov.com/Leighton or Leighton-Flowers. And we asked the question, where did God's freedom go? Because in this whole predestination theological camp, they've more than thrown the baby out with the bathwater, because not only have they taught millions of people that there is no true free will, there is no libertarian, to be doubly redundant, there is no libertarian free will, there's only God's eternal decrees, and he made people to think and to desire and to do exactly what he decreed that they would think and desire and do. They could do nothing other than what God decreed that they would desire and what he decreed that they would do. So that's what's been taught. But in the mix, where did God's freedom go? Because those millions of Calvinists, a lot of them never thought through, well, how about God? Does God retain freedom? Does God have the ability to think a new thought? Has God exhausted his creativity? And we teach, of course not. God's creativity is inexhaustible, and he could think new thoughts, design a new butterfly if he wants to for the new earth. He could write new songs, as the Holy Spirit has inspired songs and poetry in the scriptures. So God is alive. 30 times the Bible calls him the living God. And you can't be alive if you're not changing. If something is stagnant, it is not alive. We'll also embed in today's show page the two-minute, what is it, a two-minute video of the debate aftermath where James White denied that God the Son took upon himself a human nature. Now, that's heresy. That's not just bad theology, and that's not bathroom humor. It's way worse than those things. That's heresy that he and R.C. Sproul Jr. both committed, and they do need to repent. May God bless you guys.